Father, we are gathered here today as your people. We are gathered as one people. We are gathered as those who have been bought and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have put a new song in our heart. You have put a new message on our lips. You have given us, Lord, fellowship with you. You have given us a new understanding. And therefore, we have so much to share with the world around us. And so we pray, Lord, as we go about our daily affairs, whether we work in a store or out in the field somewhere or wherever it is that you have us, and in our homes and the schools and all the different places where you send us, Lord, may we be busy about sharing what you have given us to share with the world around us. And you've given us this life, and you've given us this time just for that reason, and just so that you could show your glory through us. So, Lord, we pray today, just help us to remember again, you didn't call us for ourselves. You didn't call us just so we could be a little group that meets inside of four walls. You called us so that wherever we go, we would be witnesses and messengers and servants for our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, speak to us today and give us a new boldness. Give us a new comfort in sharing about you in all our daily goings and comings. May you use your word today in us to bring us more into conformity to your purpose and will, and to make us more like your Son. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if you are among those who like to do the notes and fill in the blanks and have something to take home, feel free to do that. Somebody told me this morning, they said, Preacher Eby, I listened to last Sunday's message on the computer. How many knew that you can sign on to our webpage and actually hear the previous Sunday sermon? Did you all know that? So if you ever miss it or whatever, all you got to do is just go to sncc.org, click on weekly message, click on that little whatever it is now, MP3 thing or whatever, and you'll have it. And you'll also have the notes. And sometimes the notes are just the way that they appear here, and sometimes there's more information on them than what we give you on Sunday morning. But it's good to know there's folks out there listening and taking advantage of that. And if there's one that you say, you know, and you have to be careful with this, but you know, so-and-so ought to hear this. Some friend at work or whatever, but you could tell them about it. I think it might have been Lucille, or it might have been her mom was telling me. One of Naomi's grandsons or whatever, when he was in Germany or whatever, would click in there from time to time, I believe, and here as well. Anyway, one thing before I get into the message, welcome back Sandy Rouse. She hurt her foot pretty bad a while back, and today's her first day back. Anyway, good to have you with us. So when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are saved at that point, and we are made God's child. There's only one way to get into a family, and that really, is to be born or adopted, but we're both. We're born into his family, and we're also adopted by him, and so we become his children. Now, we are his children, and we enjoy the relationship that we have with the Lord daily. At least I hope we do. And that was one of the things we talked about on Thursday, how much Harriet Smith enjoyed her relationship with the Lord. And I remember saying, do you enjoy your relationship with the Lord the way Harriet did? That is the normal Christian life. That is what the Lord wants for every one of us. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of, what do they call it? Anyway, sour or whatever. He doesn't want us to go around that way. He wants us to be enjoying our relationship with him. But in the process, he has got things in us that he wants us to share, and we need to be sharing them as we go about. And so today's message is really about that. It's just a reminder that the Lord has saved us. We have a relationship with him. We enjoy that relationship with him every day. And the truth is, it should be so enjoyable that even other people take note, and that we would have opportunities to share with others. If you eat at a good restaurant, do you sometimes tell other people about it? Or you find a really good product that you like, sometimes you tell other people about it. And so we ought to have things to be telling other people. So let's just look at our definitions here real quick. Witness, messenger, and servant. Witness. Someone who tells what they have experienced, seen, or heard. Now, how hard is that? And that's what John tells us in his first gospel when he starts out. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testify to it. And so that takes us to point one under observations. Let's jump on down there. Witness has to do primarily with what we have experienced first. Hand. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that God has put under his sole authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the primary witness that the disciples gave was of the resurrected Lord. They had seen him resurrected. They were able to tell people, we know that he is resurrected. The grave is empty. Furthermore, he appeared to us. We saw him ascend. We know that Christ has risen. Now, we also bear witness to the resurrection. But we can't do it the way they did, to say, well, I was there that morning and I saw the stone rolled away and I walked inside and I saw the empty grave closed. We can't do that, but we have encountered the living Christ and we have undergone a transformation. Amen? And so we do and are able, we do have a witness and we are able to witness to his resurrection. But witness has primarily to do with our experience. Number two, we can only bear witness to what we have actually experienced. In the courtroom, they do not want to hear hearsay. And Judge Judy cuts people off, I think, quite frequently, and says, that's hearsay. I don't want to hear that. I want to know what you saw. I want to know what you witnessed. And so a witness basically is primarily. So this really has to do more with our experience with the Lord, his resurrection, yes, but how that works out in our daily lives. And if you read the Apostle Paul on a number of occasions in the book of Acts, he was given the opportunity to appear before governors and kings, and he always testified to the risen Lord, but he did it through his testimony and through his encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, because he was bearing witness to the Christ he himself personally had encountered. You can be a theologian, you can explain Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you can offer 122 texts to back it up, but if you don't know the Christ of glory yourself, what have you got to talk about? Amen. And let me tell you again, too, a lot of times we think our testimony is just about how we came to Christ, you know, how we knelt, where we were, who we prayed with, or whatever. No, our testimony of the risen Christ is that, plus everything else he has done and is doing in our life right now. I should be able to give some witness of something that the Lord has done in my life in the last week. It needs to be fresh. And I need to have something. People don't want to know what happened to me 30 years ago. They want to know what happened today and last week. And is Jesus still alive? And is he still on his throne? And I should be able to tell them he absolutely is and give them point in case of why I know it is so. Woo! So this idea, oh, I don't have anything to share. Don't let the devil talk you into that kind of nonsense. We all have something to share. Unless, of course, you're not walking as close to the Lord as you ought to. And what does that tell you? That tells you that it is time to get back into your Bible. That tells you it is time to get back in church. That tells you it is time to get back in fellowship. And that tells you that you need to start spending some more time on your knees with the Lord so you can get some answered prayers that you can talk about. So that's where we are. How many think that we were reading today that in Ephesians where he says, be careful how you live and all that and make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How many think we're living in evil days? Have you been watching the news this week? But we need to be up to date and we need to have, listen, the world is, I tell you, they are dying to hear some good news. And we've got that good news. Number two, messenger. You say, well, what's the difference? We'll talk about that in a minute. Messenger, someone who delivers a message on behalf of someone else. In the old days, kings had messengers. That's how they communicated. They didn't have texting. They didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. They had messengers. David was waiting to hear some news from the battlefield when his son Absalom had risen up against him. And somebody was watching out at the city wall and they said, here comes one. And then he looks over here and says, here comes another one. They were messengers. And they were bringing what was happening on the battlefield. Messengers. Did you know that the word angel, both in Hebrew and Greek, means messenger? Are you an angel? You should be. And when you think about it, when you see angels in the scripture, Old or New Testament, are they not there to deliver a message? How did Zechariah hear that Elizabeth was going to have a baby in her old age? Through a messenger. How did Mary hear that she was going to have a child who would be set on the throne of his father David and be called the Son of God? How did she find out? She had a message from a messenger. And he was there, he delivered the message, and then he got out of there. But he delivered the message. God had messengers in the Old Testament. They were called prophets. Were the prophets popular people? No, because they were telling the people things they didn't want to hear because God had something he wanted to warn them about. And so have you ever heard that phrase? Well, don't take it out on the messenger. I'm just delivering the message. But people may take it out on you if you're a messenger. But what is the job of a messenger? He is someone who delivers a message on behalf of someone else. Number three. Messengers must be reliable. That's the number one thing about the message. There was a classic little article in English Lit. I had it in high school, Message to Garcia. Did anybody besides me ever have to read that thing? And this fellow was giving this message and said, delivered to so-and-so in Cuba. And this was back around the Spanish-American War. And it was, you couldn't even list all the obstacles and the impossibilities. The thing was, deliver this to Garcia. He found a way. And he delivered the message. That is our only job. Our job isn't to transform the person. Our job isn't to change the person. Our job isn't to make the person do what we want them to do. But our job is to deliver the message. Number four, the message being delivered. Now this has to do with messengers. The message being delivered does not originate with the messenger. His job is simply to see that the message is delivered just as it was given to him. To deliver it accurately, to deliver it, to simply relay the message. That is the job of the messenger. Now, God has a message for humanity, and it is about his Son. And it is about the only way into heaven. And it is about how to know that we have sins forgiven. And it is about the sinfulness of man and the need of every person for a Savior. And he wants, and that there is a Savior, a crucified, risen, and ascended Savior who has come to save them. And that is the message. And so in that capacity, as his children, every single one of us is a messenger. He wants to deliver the message to the world. How is he going to get it out? The last time I checked, I didn't see any angelic beings standing on any corners in South Norfolk preaching the gospel. Have you? It warmed my heart this week, and I won't identify the person. I don't think they would want me to. But someone in our church told me this week, was sharing, and said, Pastor Evie, I just want to share with you how I have had the opportunity in the last month to lead two persons to Christ, one a family member and one a lifelong friend. And this might not be someone that you look at and say, now that's, you know, a real, you know, no. Listen, we're just who we are. But Bill, if I say to you, would you deliver this message to Bennett? He's down at the other end of the social hall. Would you tell him such and such? Do you think you would be able to deliver the message? Do you need any special training or anything? You can deliver the message. What he does with it is his business. But you can deliver the message. Okay. So that is all that the Lord is asking of us. But he's got a message he wants, and we should be looking for those opportunities. And I know we do. And we pray for people. Lord, give me the opportunity to be able to share in love and all of that, but to be able to share your message. Now, just because we're delivering it in love, does that mean we soften it a little bit? What if I gave one of you a message to deliver? Now, how many of you, I don't know if I should ask for hands on this one or not, pass notes when you were in school? Now, suppose one of you wrote a little note down and said, would you deliver this to so-and-so? And along the way, I opened it up and I add two or three words. Or I erase two or three words. Would I be a good messenger? I don't think so. I don't think the one sending me would be very happy with me. How many know that sometimes just changing one word actually changes or even reverses the meaning of what's been said? But we're delivered in love. But we're not changing anything. And I hope as long as I'm in this pulpit, and I hope that as long as God is a God's man in this pulpit, that the message won't be changed. There are a lot of people out there saying, no, you need to change the message. You need to soften the message. That was then, this is now. You need to change it. No, if I change it, I'm not a faithful messenger. And then we come to the third servant. Someone who carries out the wishes and commands of his master. Now, I'm his child. I'm his son. If you know him, you're his son or his daughter. And you say, but I'm a servant too? Well, think about Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate son. He's the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten of the Father. The direct image and likeness and representation of the Father. And yet he says, in the world, those who have positions of authority lord it over people. But among you, it will not be that way. Whoever among you would be first must make himself what? Servant of all. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so, yeah, I'm a child, but I am a servant. And what a servant does is carry out the wishes and commands of his master. Number five, we serve the Lord first and foremost. We serve others on his behalf. That's what we read in our responsive reading. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And if we understand that, we won't have as much trouble serving. Well, I tried serving, but they didn't appreciate it. Were you doing it for them, or were you doing it for your master? How many people, when Jesus was on earth, appreciated what he did? Some did. A lot didn't. But that's not what it was about. It was about doing the will of who? Of the Father. And we close with number six. These basic and inherent roles of the believer show clearly the nature of our calling. We have not been called for our own comfort or benefit, but for the purposes of another. And that other would be our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are many blessings in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many rights and privileges that go with being a child of the King and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't save me, and he didn't call me just so I could be happy. There are still a lot of people out there that haven't heard. There are some out there that have heard maybe more times than they want to, and they still need to hear it at least one more time. Who is on the Lord's side? Is that what we sang earlier? Who will go? God asked that question in the book of Isaiah. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said what? Jeremiah? Send me. Where would the Lord send you as a witness and as a messenger and as a servant? You need look no further than your own household, your neighbor, your street, school, the place you work, your circle of friends, wherever the Lord has already put you. And to just know, Lord, I love you, you've blessed me. Now make me your witness so I can tell about what you've done. Make me your messenger so I can deliver your message faithfully and clearly. And make me your servant that I may serve others out of love for you. That's all. He doesn't ask any more than that. And it's not that hard. It may be hard only in the sense of it may require something of us that we don't want to do. Have y'all ever noticed that when you don't really want to do something, how hard it becomes all of a sudden? And that when you really do want to do it, all of a sudden it's so easy. But to say, Lord, wherever you send me, let me be these three things. And in that, Christ is our example. He has already done all of it. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you today for your work of grace in our lives. We cannot claim credit for one thing that you have done in our lives. Not one thing. The fact that you saved us, the fact that you forgave us, the fact that you called us, the fact that you wooed us and pulled us and drew us to yourself. We cannot claim one bit of credit for any of it. Not what you did on the day we were saved or anything you have done in our lives or through our lives since that time. We cannot claim credit for any of it, but we can tell it and we can share it. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us the desire in the places where you have already put us. Now, you may call, like you called Daryl and Kyle and Tim and Joanne and Arlen and Melody and many others and say, go to this distant land. But even if you don't call us that way, you have already called us in the place where we are. So, Lord, I pray today for all of us as your people that we will love the fact that not only are we your sons and daughters, but that you have called us and appointed us to be witnesses, messengers, and servants. And may we be so all the time, that we would be on the clock, as it were, all the time, because we never know when that opportunity is going to be there. Anoint your people, prepare your people, and use us each day more in these capacities to bring glory to yourself. Father, thank you for those who are out there doing these things. Just make us even more effective and more intentional than we have been in the past. These things we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.